Hey, I'm Aaron, blessed to be one of your pastors, and I just want to read this word for you that God put on my heart as we were singing that, and you guys can come forward, and we'll take this morning's offering. Hey, I want to encourage you to keep giving, because you can, because God has blessed you with the ability to give, not just with a bunch of stuff, but with his own spirit, his own self. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Check this out. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We just sang about that. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I just lift up my friend Carrington to you right now. He is walking through the valley, God, having been shot, not even knowing, Lord, what's next, not knowing about his body. He's alive, and so we thank you for that. But Lord, this is tragic, and this is sadly common. And what people don't know is that you've actually set a table for him right now in the presence of his enemy, even the enemy of death. He knows you. He's recognized you. We pray, Jesus, that he would, in his hospital bed right now, be in right relationship with you because of what you've done, and he would just continue to accept that and believe that. We do pray for miracles. We know that you restore what people try to destroy. We know that you take what's bad and intended for bad, and you actually flip the script and you make it good. And so we pray in Jesus' name that Carrington would see that, and that all of us would see that, and that we know that goodness and mercy is following us, and that in you we get to have forever with you, and that forever begins a day where we recognize that you are God and we are not, that you paid a price that we couldn't pay, that the enemies of death and sin have been defeated by you, Jesus. And so I say hallelujah to your name, and we ask for your help to have that kind of perspective, even in the midst of the darkest days. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's bonus material. It's a little more than maybe you were expecting. I'm going to get after it today, but you're going to help me with it. Can we brag about Jesus, how good he is, what he's done? I mean, there's so many things, and some of you weren't expecting to come in here and have me ask you to do my message for me. Well, I have notes, and I have, like, this great passage that I get to preach off of, but if we took the whole 40 minutes right now of bragging on Jesus, that would be a victory. And so let's go for it. Let's make a big deal out of Jesus, because he is a big deal. What is he doing in your life that you know he's good? What has he done in your life that you know he's good? What are you expecting him to do? Great. But what is it about Jesus that's good? What can you do to share about that right now, right here with all these people in front of God and everybody? Go ahead, church. Say what up? That's so good. We'll go. We'll start here. 20 years recovery from bondage, from stronghold, and you're free. Hallelujah. Amen. Each day adds up to those 20 years. That's wonderful. Yeah, Michelle.
He takes us where we are.
Yep.
He grows us.
Amen.
He takes us all the time.
Amen.
He loves us good work. Where we shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it's about him. And yet he loves us and comes to us. Michelle, Kathy and I, Josiah, Ellie, Toby, our granddaughter Clover, and about what, seven other people went down to the Dream Center in LA. I'd love for you to look up their story. It's phenomenal. But they love on the least of the least in the LA area. And we were down there for both the earthquakes. I thought I had some kind of weird, like, dizziness going on because everything was moving. I happened to be changing in like a changing room that had a toilet in there. Some people call that a bathroom. And I was there and I was like, gosh, what's my problem? I'm dehydrated and I've drank so much water. And then all of a sudden I see the toilet water going back and forth. I'm like, we're having an earthquake. I'm in LA. Okay. And then the next night we have one too. And I mean, they just, it didn't even freak me out. Maybe it should have, man. I'm not smart enough to be freaked out, I guess, but I was just kind of in this mode, and I feel like I'm still there, and I give glory to God that he's good, and he helps us through everything. And sometimes he lets that last struggle be our last struggle, and he delivers us to life with him forever. But how about you? How's God good? How do you know he's good? Can we brag? Can we praise him in the midst? Do you know when we praise and worship God, we're actually joining the angels who are already in progress? That's so good. So let's go. What else? Yeah, darling.
He allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us.
Amen.
Amen. No matter where we are.
He allows the Holy Spirit to speak in us and through us to other people no matter what. That's good. What else, church? Yes, ma'am. Amen. He gives us discernment with a word into our lives. Amy's not like her husband's next. We're like, all right, testify. But this is true. Amen. Yes, sir.
He answers prayer.
He does answer prayer. Does he always answer the way you want him to? Is that still an answer, though? And it's good? Hallelujah. Thanks, Peter. Yes, ma'am.
He saved my life four times.
Amen. Hallelujah. He ain't done with you.
Not yet.
Nope. And he gave you the big salvation, the real one, right? This other stuff's cool. You're still breathing, but you get to live forever. Thank you, Jesus. And not like, you know, this, right? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yeah, Misty.
By the grace of God, 8 years clean.
Hallelujah. 8 years. 8 years. Amen. That's so good. We got 20. We got 8. Yeah. Amen. Through it all, he's faithful to his word. You can trust his word. Thanks, Carolyn. Yes, ma'am.
He will stand by your side when the rest of the world may walk away.
He's going to be with you through it all, is what you're saying, Jack, no matter what, even when everybody else bounces. That's good. Yes, sir.
He provides us a firm foundation and a true direction.
Amen. Amen. Firm foundation and true direction. Good. Yes, ma'am. Whew, gosh. Come on, that's good, preacher girl. That's amazing. So Tiana lost her passport and found it, and she said she was rejoicing and super stoked about that because she's getting ready to go to Mexico, and that's not a, hey, you get it in a week kind of a thing. So how much more, she said, Jesus and his angels rejoice over one who's lost and then is found.
What Tiana put on Facebook was absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
I don't know if anyone read it, but it's beautiful.
It's Facebook official.
Yeah.
People are laughing like, my dad is such a nerd. You guys, Jesus is empowering. You get that? He gives you strength. He gives you authority. He gives you ability. He commissions you. He calls you and I to do things we cannot do on our own. And may that not be the exact point, that we can't do it ourselves. And so when we started this little series 3 weeks ago today, we looked at the fact that Jesus calls his people to be a part of what he's doing. And so I asked you and encouraged you to remember who the strength comes from. Remember that it's not you. You don't have to muster it up. I told you a little bit about one of my favorite movies, The Sandlot. Apparently, it's coming back maybe even this weekend and next week over here at the beautiful Galaxy Theater. But more than what they can do in that theater, more than what that movie can tell you, Jesus knows who you are, knows how much you and I need him, and is our strength. He says, look, you stand here. You trust me, and I'll do the rest. And we walk, and we have to step, and we have to raise our hands, and there's some cool things that we get to be a part of, but he is the power, and so remember that always. And then we've got to labor. I know, I mean, my daughter-in-law is pregnant with their second child, and labor is no joke. I'm not trying to diminish that. But Jesus calls us to actually do work, to be a part of the process of harvesting, of planting and watering and watching God make it grow and us be a part of it. He's like, look, you got to do something in this strength that I've given you. You get to live it out. You're not a spectator. You're not just supposed to watch as everybody else does it. Oh, that's cool. I wish I could be a part of that. No, it's so much better than that. He's calling you and I to be clean, to be free, to be set up for success. But please don't get it twisted with what the world tells you success is. Success is fixing your eyes on Jesus. Food, he said, was to do the work of him who sent him. That we would come alongside of what Jesus is doing and he would give us the power to labor with him. But saints, we got to remember to pray. We've got to remember that we're talking to the one who is in charge of the harvest and to ask for fellow workers to come and be a part of it, to pray and believe that they're going to be there. And then pray for people of peace to be open to that. Like in this last week, I've never asked more people, hey, can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? There was this family. Oh my goodness, they had fairly new tents. That means they're kind of fresh on the street. If you've never seen people camping on a street and actually stopped and talked to them, I think you're missing out. Now, don't go into their tent. That's bad juju. But stop and talk and hear a story. Ask how you can pray. We're down in Skid Row in L.A., and I see this family. And I say, hey, we got some water and some chips and some stuff, and I'd love to pray with you. Is there anything I can pray for you? And they're like, yeah, we don't need you to pray. And I'm like, you know I'm going to walk away from here and pray for you anyways, right? And they're like, yeah, well, what can I pray for? This is William and Katrina. And they have a friend, DeAndre, who's 26. William is 40. Katrina's 45. They have a newborn who's a month old who's not on the street with them. Praise God. But they're wanting their baby back, and they need help. And they call over just across this little area to this tent that's all zipped up to Josiah, their 14-year-old nephew, who's also homeless with them. And there's so many things that are going through my mind. And I'm like, Lord, just show them right now and give them housing right now. Give them. They're in a place right now, but it's a seriously difficult place. And I've been praying that whole day for people who would be people of peace. And I said, you know that Jesus doesn't want you to stay in this spot, but he's going to use this. And I'm praying, and I don't even know. I want the Dream Center to help them, but can they just give this family a house? I mean, we're humbled, friends. What are we even doing? How can we even help? We need to pray to the one who can help. So many things happen when we trust God. But don't get this twisted. He's not saying, yeah, you want this, 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 and that? Just ask me. It's ask according to his name. Ask according to his authority. And then I asked you to understand something, that people like William and Katrina may actually not want Jesus, but they want help. Not everybody's going to understand that you believe a God that they feel has let them down. Not everybody wants Jesus. Understand that. You live in such a way, though, that you not only want him, but you represent him on the regular. And then rejoice, Jesus said. Don't rejoice that you get to do all these things as cool as they are. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That he loves that and he celebrates that. Last week we looked at this joyous power that God gives us, that Jesus modeled for us. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. How can that be a joyful situation? Church, what joy did Jesus have that was set before him that he could endure the cross and scorn its shame? What was the joy in that moment for him? Anybody? It's glory to God. He was victorious. He was about to die. He didn't just die for you, he died as you. He's a substitute for you. 1 Peter says that he bore our sin, not on his skin, but in him. He became our sin. And when that man, Jesus, died, sin died. And when Jesus rose from the dead, death died. We have victory. There's joyous power in Jesus Christ. And he calls us to be a neighbor to people. Not just look for, well, I could probably help John because he works for Makita and he might hook me up eventually if I do something nice for him. You know, I'll help you if you can help me. No, this isn't reciprocity. This isn't you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. This is initiating love. You've been loved already. You are playing with house money, church. You get to live. And you get to show others how to live. So go for it. Joy is power. I stand here before you just absolutely humbled that I have to have a hernia operation. 42 years ago, I had the same operation already. Other side. But now it's because, well, you're old and you're kind of weaker. Oh, okay, thanks. I rejoice that I need Jesus. I rejoice that I need help. I rejoice that my body doesn't work the way you, that I don't have hair like my son. I love you, Joe, but I hate looking at your hair. Zach, I love looking at your facial hair, though. It makes me laugh all the time. It's so good. And your hair bugs me, too, but you guys got Traxler going, and that's fine. But honestly, all of that just makes me think this ain't it. Kathy digs me, and she has to. I mean, the reality is, it's not about what I look like and how I feel. It's about Jesus, and he shines greater when I'm weak. Don't choose to be weak like by doing stupid things. Choose to be weak by saying, I'm not in charge. I don't have all the answers. But God, you do. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I want your joyous power. And so, and quite possibly one of the most miraculous things is been experienced in me. I'm going to give you a message very quickly, and you and I are going to pray for 10 minutes. Some of you heard that right now, and you're like, oh, I'm going to bounce. No, you're going to bounce into prayer. You're going to enjoy this, because ultimately, what we need to understand is there is a powerful connection, and it's prayer. So please join me in Luke 11. We're going Luke 11, 1 through 13. I'm going to stop after a couple things and explain just a brief little bit about this. But I want you to know that Jesus' disciples saw something about him. He prayed, and then powerful things happened. And they recognized that. And so they asked him this really cool question. If you don't have Bibles, please grab one that's underneath the seat next to you. It's yours. Take it. Write your name in it, underline stuff, take notes. You can look up on this screen, a screen you have in your hand, or you might have a good old-fashioned Bible of your own that you brought with you. Luke 11, 1 through 2. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. He did this all the time, you guys. Prayed all the time. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, some of you are going right to the Matthew 1, and that's wonderful, and we could go over that and compare them and go, why did this and that? We're just going to go with what we have here today. But they recognize that there was a powerful connection. They recognize that for anything amazing to happen, they need to be connected to the Father, and they're like, teach us how to pray. We want to know this powerful connection. We want to know how this works. And Jesus says, okay, first things first, start with Father. Abba, Daddy. This was so scandalous that it actually is part of what got Jesus killed. That he would call Yahweh, the Most High God, his own Father. Check this out. I'll read it for you really quick. It's in John 5, 17 through 18. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I'm working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath and he healed somebody on the Sabbath. Shame, you put life back into somebody, you chump. Yeah, you broke the law. He's like, oh, homie, I fulfilled the law. I don't know if he said homie, I wasn't there. But most likely. breaking the Sabbath, and that upset them. But he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. And they said, you're a blasphemer. Look, I don't know if you know this, but in Romans 8, it says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're sons of God. You are children of God. And that you have not a spirit of fear and failure, but you have a spirit of adoption that allows you and I to call God Daddy. Abba, Father. Some of you have had jacked up dads. Nobody's had a perfect dad. But God being your daddy, whoo, that changes everything. And so off of that, Jesus gives these powerful priorities. And we want to read them for you. It's in 11, 2 through 4, back in the book of Luke. So when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means, not Halloween, excuse me. I was going to say that to you. Please don't be afraid of Halloween. Greet people at your door in the holy name of Jesus. All Hallows' Eve is what that is. And this is hallowed. That means holy. So, Father, your daddy, you're close in this way. There's this great connection. You get to be one with him. And check this out. He's holy. Perfect. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Take care of us today. Some of us have really, really packed on the bread, right? And not just from a carb standpoint, but we have food for days. We throw away 40% of our food in this country. 40%. I don't really like leftovers. Make less. Be content with what you have and give to people who don't. But he's saying, look, would you just give us our daily bread? This goes to a proverb that they would all understand when he's saying this. Look, don't give me too much that I might look at it and go, look what I got. I don't need God. Boy, there's people on Skid Row that are richer than you and me because they know just how bankrupt they really are. Some of us have so much, we're just like, I don't really need God. He says, don't give me too much. And don't give me too little that I might steal and therefore shame your name. Just give me my daily bread. And so he prioritizes first, talk to God like he's your daddy because he is if you're in him and believe him. Then his kingdom, let it come and happen in you and through you and around you, his rule and his reign. Your closest neighbors, I want to love those around me. Starts with the people around you. Wow, weird. And then forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. These are just crazy. Forgive us because we forgive all those. Man, understand this. Jesus knows who you are. He knows how you interact with people. I love that we've got people that have been set free from the bondage of addiction. I love that we have this example of people who love their wives and they love their husbands, they love their children, they love even being single and they love that they can serve. But what about people who love to forgive? Nah, that's a little too much. I can't really do that. You're holding a grudge and you're saying what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough. You need to get a little bit more for that. Please fight that. Forgive. Jesus is the one who knows everything about you and me and still loves us and forgives us. I love this word. It is too much for me, but I love it. I'm going to say this to you again. I want to read it humbly. Forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do you do that? I don't. I'm working on it. This isn't a salvation prayer. This is a relational prayer. Father, forgive us, for we forgive everybody who's indebted to us. I think he's giving a little hyperbole saying, do you? Do you? I want to. Lord, help me to do so. So finally, he provides for us powerfully. There's this powerful provision, and it's him. I'm about to share some stuff with you that would really, really serve us well to unpack for a long time, but we don't have a long time. And so I'm just going to say to you, Jesus goes from what's lesser to greater. He goes from people and how they do things to the Father and how he does things. And here's some examples for you. Verse 5. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. First of all, we're like, I've never actually had to go next door at midnight and knock on the door and say, oh, I had a neighbor show up who I wasn't expecting and we don't have any food for him. Can I borrow food? Maybe you still go and get sugar from people. Maybe you go and get eggs. Maybe you go and say, you got any of that yogurt? Maybe. But this right here is like very culturally relevant. Somebody would show up to your house and they need help and they're your friend and you don't have anything for them and you're like, oh, not, dude, it's midnight. No, it's like, let me help you. And so Jesus is like, look, how many of you would go over to your friend's house and ask for help like this? And your friend answers you from within, don't bother me, the door's shut now. And my children are with me in bed. They had like a studio house, so everybody slept in one room. I cannot get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he'll not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, his persistence, his, I'm serious, I don't have any food. Please help me. Well, because he's impudent and still knocking on the door, he'll rise and give him whatever he needs. Look, if you pester somebody long enough, they'll just give you something to shut you up. If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, kids. Screen time. Look, I want you to leave me alone. Here's the keys of the car. Just go drive somewhere. But he's like, look, the Father isn't like that. He's not like, if you pester me long enough, I'll do it. He's like, look, people will do stuff, not because they love you, but because they love to shut you up. But he's like, that's not who I am. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Friends, this goes so far, and I'd love to just get after this, but the reality is this is about motivation. If you ask and you don't get something and you don't ask again, it was just an emergency, you're just throwing it out there, right? But if you really know that God's put it on your heart, you ask and it doesn't come to you, well, you start seeking. Now, how can I do this? I know God has called me to do this. It's not been easy, but I'm gonna keep going. And then you start knocking. I found that door. It's time, man. Let's go. He says you're going to have that happen. But some of us ask, don't get it, and we give it up. Some of us start to seek, and we don't find it, and we give it up. Some of us knock, and we don't hear an answer at first, or we're like, go away. I'm in here with my kids, and we're asleep. And we're just like, nah. Maybe what you're asking and seeking and knocking for isn't what God wants for you. Check this out. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? That's just dirty. What, you need something to eat? Yeah, eat a snake. What dad would do that? I don't even care if you're a prankster. That's just bad. And if somebody, their son, asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. What? If you then, who are evil, and he wraps up all of this with this, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When was the last time you asked God for the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you asked him to fill you up so much that you see things the way he does and you hear things the way he does and you feel things the way he does and you have this power the way he has power that you want to do what he wants you to do? Gosh, we live in a world that just idolizes, indeed worships comfort. My doctor said, look, you're going to have this operation. You're 49. We're going to give you like this pump, and it's going to pump this anesthetic into your whole area where you just had surgery for 4 days, just so you can be comfortable. Wow. He gave me this, like, set up that where if I wanted to be addicted to opiates, I could probably get started on that now. So I could be comfortable. I'm not saying that we need to suffer and be in pain, but look, my daddy knows what I need. I'm not saying I'm not going to take medicine, but I'm not going to OD on it. I'm not going to look at it as my answer. I want Jesus. I want him for me. I want him for you. Maybe he's coming in and breaking into the way things are going normally for us with challenges or even with blessings, right? And maybe they're both the same thing, but he's breaking in because he wants a breakthrough for you. So would you, for the next 9 minutes, and you're probably going to hear the boom, 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 don't look at that as, oh, it's time to leave. Would you just take time? There's going to be some music that's going to play. Would you take time to ask the Father, remembering that he is your daddy, remembering that it's his holy name, that things actually can occur, and that you and I get to see his kingdom come, and that we would know that he takes care of our daily needs, and we could help take care of others, and that we would be praying in his name for the ability to forgive, and most of all, to have the Holy Spirit on us and in us. Don't read that as speaking in tongues and doing the worm down the middle of the... whatever. Maybe. But the Holy Spirit leading you, comforting you, directing you, empowering you. Please take time right now. Lord Jesus, in this place, I thank you so much that you know us. Thank you that in our cars you know us. Thank you that when we leave and go to our homes, to our workplace, to shopping, to traffic, you know us. Lord, there's so many people in here that would like to be able to say they've got 8 years or 20 years of being set free from addiction, but they haven't even put together 8 days. But today is the day, Lord. Today's the day they start. Today's the day that they get overwhelmed. Today's the day that they're led by your Spirit, knowing that you are the stronghold. Not the fear of man, not addiction, not lust, but you are the stronghold. You are the place. And Holy Spirit, fill us up to believing that. Lord, we give you anger and we give you unforgiveness. We don't want it anymore. It's not ours. You have crushed that. You have killed that. And you have risen from the dead. We have life abundantly in you. May we remember that and believe that. And may we do simple things to remember that. May we serve. May we live. May we give. May we not hoard things. May we not have food for 78 tomorrows, God. May we instead be willing to help feed people today. Jesus, it's so easy to talk about and so hard to do. So Holy Spirit, we're asking for discernment. We're asking for salvation to come to us and that we would go and give out the good news, knowing that that actually does help people, that love in your name is so good. Jesus, we pray this in your perfect name. Amen.